stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we're delighted that everyone is spending some time with us here today. Brother Sam, what has the Lord put on your heart for us to get into in this episode?
Kyle, I wanted to talk about Psalm 50 and just read through that. I was reading through the Psalms the other day and it really convicted me. You know, God has a message for his people, his chosen people. But sadly, Kyle, it's kind of like the one we just did on, well, we didn't do it together, but we talked about it that day. Yeah. I did it without you, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Mm-hmm. The memorial song and how God made them. He commanded them a song from his own mouth that testified judgment and destruction upon them.
Yeah.
And we went through that and looked at why. It, really sad. But yeah, it's a witness against them.
Yeah.
Declaring the end from the beginning. Here in Psalm 50, much shorter, but a little bit of the same message. And so I want to cover that because it's important that we don't follow the same example. Remember, Israel was grafted into the vine. They were broken off as a branch. The natural vine broken off of, as a branch, so that we, being the wild vine or the wild branch, can be grafted in. Now, this is discussed in Romans chapter 11. But Psalm 50, that's what I want to cover today.
Okay. Well, with that, I'll open us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word, for its permanence, and Father, for the everlasting life-changing message that can come from it. Father, we thank you for this time together, and we ask, O Lord God, that you remove any barriers from the folks that are listening today. Help them to settle in silently and where they're at. Maybe open up their Bible and follow along with us. Maybe they have questions, Lord. We ask you to just move and stir in their heart and allow them to feel comfortable going ahead and sending us an email on them, Lord. We also pray that you open their mind and their ears to what they hear. Allow the truth of your message to sink into their heart and start to work towards a life change, O Father. We thank you so much that you've made a difference in our life that's just unfathomable, Lord. The peace that I just can't even begin to describe, I thank you for that. Father, bless this time to the edifying of your kingdom, to the building up of other believers that are out there that may be encouraged by what they hear, and allow them to go forth and to be strong, strengthened by what they hear, and to do your work. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Kyle, when God speaks, it's important that we listen. When God has something to say, we need to hearken and pay attention and listen to it. Kyle, God has spoken. What has he spoken in Psalm chapter 50? And for what purpose in verse 1 through verse 4?
The Mighty One, God, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shone forth. May our God come and not keep silence. Fire devours before him, and it is very tempestuous around him. He summons the heavens above and the earth to judge his people.
Kyle, that can be a scary and frightening thing. Kyle, there's a lot of people that don't have the real reverent fear of God within them. They don't tremble. There should be a reverent fear of God.
That's right.
God has the authority and the power to bring eternal life or eternal judgment. The fact of the matter remains is everyone born into the world is under eternal judgment.
That's right.
There's only one way to escape. And yet here, what a lot of people don't understand, they claim to be a people, God's people, just like Israel. God even acknowledges, but yet he is calling. He is summoning the heavens above and the earth below to do what again in verse 4?
To judge his people.
To judge his people. Now, Kyle, if we call ourselves a people of God, don't you think it'd be wise to learn from their shortcomings?
Absolutely. In fact, Paul told us that everything that happened to Israel was for our
instruction.
That's right.
That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, but there's many other places it's repeated as well. We'll have to do an episode just on that itself.
Yeah, we keep coming back to it.
So?
To judge his people.
To judge his people. Now, so what does he say then in verse 5 and 6?
Gather my godly ones to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge.
So he wants to gather everybody who's coming to him. Well, let's see what he has to say, Kyle. What does he declare in verse 7 and 8?
Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you for sacrifices, and your burnt offerings are continually before me.
So he's not reproving them for their sacrifices.
Right.
He told them to do sacrifices.
Yeah, but he's definitely going to testify against
them. But he's going to testify against them. He says he's their God, but he's going to testify against them. You know, we did, I think of the episode we did on Isaiah. God said he hated their gatherings. He hated their festivals.
He hated their solemn assemblies.
And it's not so much here as he says, it's not that he reproves them for their sacrifices, God told them. But in the Isaiah one that we looked at, the reason why he hated their gatherings and their sacrifices was because they continued to come before him with sin.
That's right.
Now, ironically, and that's what people don't understand, but wasn't that the point of the sacrifices? Because the sacrifices of bulls and, you know, the blood of bulls and goats, you could have forgiveness. Well, that's even written in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews.
Yep.
And it's recorded in the Old Testament.
And we've covered that in those episodes.
But the problem is that's not what God always desired. Now, we did an episode, I think two episodes, a part one and a part two, if I remember right, of what has God always desired. Maybe it was just one, but we did one. It was what has God always desired?
Yep.
A lot of people don't know that question. If you say, what has God always desired? What has he always wanted that he already declared from the beginning in the Old Testament?
He earnestly desired that his spirit would dwell in us.
That's right. And specifically the result that we would be able to walk in his
walk
ways.
Yep.
To obey his voice.
That's right.
So here, he's going to tell us. You see, what it comes down to is, what does he declare the truth about these sacrifices in verse 9 through verse 13?
I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor me.
So God tells him, he's like, listen, Kyle, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills.
Yep.
Kyle, you know, there's songs about that. I can think of a song. I remember growing up, I remember singing that song. But I couldn't have told you the context. You see here, we're one of the passages where it talks about that. Kyle, the problem is God has a case against the people. God wants a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, many people come in thanksgiving. I mean, I think, again, the episode we did in Isaiah where he says, yeah, you worship me, but it's in vain. I reject your worship. You know, Jesus quoted the same passage in the Gospels. In vain you do worship me rightly, as the prophet quoted, speaking against the people of the day. As you continue to look, he says, pay your vows to the Most High. as well. Well, what are these vows? What does he want? Well, sometimes looking at what the problem is gives us insight. Well, the opposite of the problem. Don't do what the problem is. And he says, God is willing, if you call upon him in that day, he will rescue you and you will honor him.
Yeah.
So the question is, what is the problem? You see, we already know that God called them his people. God says he is their God, but he has a case against them.
Yeah, I think from this you could reckon that they're not honoring him. And just in general, because they're not paying their vows to him in the way he wants. They're not being filled with thanksgiving.
Well, let's keep reading. Kyle, what does it say? We're going to go through these remaining verses a little bit slower. What does verse 16 say?
But to the wicked God says, what right have you to tell me my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth?
Okay. So he's addressing a wicked people.
Mm-hmm.
You who are listening, when you think of God addressing a wicked people, who initially comes to mind? Is it the church?
No. No. People would say, oh, the world.
Yeah, the world.
The people of Canaan at this time or such.
Yeah, and I'm even thinking today.
Yeah.
You'll think people of the world, you know, criminals, you know, people who continue to deliberately break the law, the rules, and are rebellious. But typically when God's addressing the wicked, many times when he's addressing the wicked, Kyle, he's addressing the wicked that are the church. Kyle, the wicked that are called his people that he is calling heaven and earth to testify against them.
Yep.
Kyle, this wicked people in verse 16, are they telling or preaching the ways of God?
They're taking his covenant in their mouth.
His statutes and his covenants.
Yep.
In their mouth, and they're telling others about it. You who are listening, do you tell others about the hope that you have in you? Do you tell others about Christ and the power of God and the testimony of how it has transformed your life? Well, one, if you aren't testifying, if you aren't laboring, you know, Jesus even said, if you don't gather with me,
you scatter.
He accuses you of scattering. That's correct. And that's in Scripture, in the Gospels. But yet here, he's speaking to a people, Kyle, that are actually going out and proclaiming
his statutes.
Testifying with their mouth, taking in their mouth God's statutes and covenants.
Yeah.
Kyle, this is the wicked people he's referring to.
Yeah.
Now, you'd be saying, well, how can they be wicked? It appears as though they have a faith. It appears as though they have a belief. Well, the problem, what does verse 17 say?
For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you.
Ah, so Kyle, even though they're taking the words of God in their mouth, God accuses them of casting casting his words behind them.
That's right. And actually hating the Lord's discipline.
And hating the Lord's discipline. Now, Kyle, a lot of people don't understand that statement. Many of you who are listening, I'm sure as you listen to that, you're like, this does not apply to me. Why am I even wasting my time listening to this? Listen, you have no idea how much it applies to us. Kyle, we did an episode that I think fits very well and does a very good job thoroughly explaining in depth this topic.
Yeah.
Going through Scripture of what God says about his people, both Old Testament and New Testament. Kyle, was the message consistent?
Consistent, 100% consistent. You know,
do you remember the title of that episode? I remember it.
Go for it, because I was thinking immediately what came to my mind when you think about the Lord's discipline is Isaiah chapter 1, the beating from the head to the foot.
Where will you be stricken again?
Exactly.
God's trying to get the son's attention. It's just the son couldn't come into the obedience of God. Now, the title of the episode, and there's probably other ones that we did, but the one that's coming to mind that at least I know it's in there, is Scripture is Profitable for discipline.
That's right.
It's one of the three things, right? It says, you know, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and discipling, or training and righteousness. Yeah. And that comes from 2 Timothy 3:16, I believe. Well, we did an episode on each one of those aspects, one of those being discipline. And we did two episodes on the discipline, one being the discipline of God makes the paths straight.
Right. Yeah.
Or crooked to straight. The second one is the struggling son. And we look at passages of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And, you know, God makes, you know, makes our paths straight, from crooked to straight. And that's the result of how you know you're being disciplined by God. And then we look at examples of a son. And there are three examples, if I remember correctly. One of them is specific discipline of a son that he discusses in Isaiah chapter 1. And I think we might have covered other passages in Isaiah 2. The other one was Hebrews chapter 12 that talks about the discipline of a son. But a lot of people didn't carefully read through it to fully understand what that means. And the last one was the discipline of a son, I think referring to Israel when he brought them out. I think that was Deuteronomy chapter 12, if I remember correctly. But it's in those episodes. Really good. I encourage people, if you haven't listened to those episodes, go listen to those and you'll understand. If you're unable to come into the pure discipline of God, well, one, do you even know what that means as God defines it? Can you quote and reference scripture as a teaching, not a one-verse theology? And if not, well, please listen to that episode. So in this case, Kyle, it's the wicked that he's referring to that are his chosen people. The wicked are people who tell of his ways. They take his words in their mouth. But yet God says they hate discipline. God says they cast his words behind them.
Yeah.
But yet the people would disagree. And Kyle, it's the same as today. I see so many people, they disagree. You know, the Spirit of God, it's like, as you know now today, you can almost immediately discern someone who has been changed by God versus somebody who's still an infant in Christ seeking but hasn't, you know, experience the full power of God inside of them. Now, some of you who are listening, you might be experiencing the power of God around you. God may even be speaking of you. You might have had a dream or a vision, or maybe even an audible voice. That's happened. I've discussed that with people before they were freed from sin, before they overcame it. So be careful not to assume that you've already gone from infant in Christ to sonship when you're still an infant and you haven't received full power. Kyle, what's the next thing that he accuses them of? As we'll just read through the list.
Yeah.
Verse 18 to verse 21.
Okay. Yeah, these are, he's given definite examples of the things he's talking about in the prior verses. When you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silence. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes.
Kyle, another thing that people don't understand is when God accuses people of things, the words just seem harsh. You know, a lot of times he'll use murder, and people are like, but I'm not a murderer. They don't understand how Jesus defined murder if you have the anger of man, right?
Yep.
Or adultery. They're like, but I don't
lust for
I don't commit adultery. And he's like, no, if you have the thought in your mind, you're guilty of adultery. And in this one here, many times God accuses people who still have the quote two natures. He calls them adulteresses.
Yep.
Do you know how many times he calls Israel the adulterous bride, the adulterous woman, the adulterous nation?
It's got to be a lot.
Time and time again. Kyle, I can't even remember how many times I've read through that in the Old Testament passages.
Yep.
Because Israel had this two natures. Kyle.
Double-minded.
You know, there's a passage in the New Testament that also talks about the two natures. And God accuses that person of an adulteress too. Just like Israel. You know, God's consistent. Now, most people, when they think of the two natures, they immediately go to the right book. Kyle, they even go to the right chapter. The problem is, they didn't even understand the whole chapter, let alone the chapters before and after,
yeah,
to understand that that Romans struggle in Romans chapter 7, the second half, which we did an episode in detail and helped expose some of the false teachings on that, in overcoming sin, the war of the flesh explained. But Kyle, right before you get into the second half of that message, which is verse 13 to 25, verse 1 through 3 talks about, well, actually just verse 1 through 6, the very beginning of the chapter, talks about the person that has these two natures.
Yep, and it talks about the law of marriage.
That's right. It compares them to an adulterous woman where they think they can still have the two natures in them being joined to the two husbands. God declares loud and clear, you're an adulteress.
That's right.
And so for some of you who are listening, you may be struggling to say, because Kyle, I never identified with these passages. You know, for me, I was a Christian. This is previously. And I just did an episode of a testimony that I did, how I finally overcame sin. And it was a letter that I shared with my dad. I read parts of that letter in that, and it explains a lot of the journey. Well, some of the journey that I went through. I mean, I'd write a whole novel. But people who are listening, if you have specific questions, you know, for me or Kyle, you know, please ask and we can help give more detailed explanation, whether an email. Also, we can do a phone call if that's easier, because sometimes typing back and forth, right, that it can be hard. But either way, whatever you feel comfortable with, we would love to help you in your journey.
Yeah, just write to us at questions@warriorsforchristpodcast.com. Use the number 4. questions@warriorsforchristpodcast.com.
Yep. So here again, a lot of people wouldn't say, oh, but I'm not that person. You know, I would have never identified with this person, the old Sam. But now today, I see the truth. Slandering, speaking, being able to control your tongue. You know, it's consistent with the episode we did on James chapter 1, whether or not you have a proof of your faith. Kyle, if a person struggles to bridle their tongue,
their religion is worthless.
God says the religion is worthless. Where does God say the deception lies?
It's in their heart.
In their heart. Now, we covered a lot of that in the New Heart episodes, part 1 and part 2, Old Testament, New Testament passages, so to help you understand. Listen to those episodes and you can understand these things more. And it'll be like God turning on a light switch. Now, in verse 21... he says they've done these things, and God kept silent. What does he accuse them of thinking? Halfway through verse 21.
He accuses them of thinking that they were like him.
You thought that I was just like you. You see, when we think God accepts our life of perceived holiness to God and also our struggle with sin, God's like, what are you doing? I am not like you. You do not have me in you. You know, Kyle, a passage that comes to mind is 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in light,
as he is in light,
as God himself is in light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, the Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, the standard is walk in light as God himself is light. Now, the message that they heard from Christ and announced to the people in that book of 1 John is in one verse, captured in one verse, in verse 5 of chapter 1. Do you remember what that gospel message was about God?
That God is light, and in him there is no darkness.
And there is no darkness at all. And a lot of people don't understand that. Well, it makes perfect, the application is, well, if you claim to be in God and abiding in God, his spirit only produces one kind of fruit.
Good fruit.
Now, we did an episode on the full message of the book of 1 John. You can listen to that.
It was one of our first episodes.
A lot of people's verses and understanding of 1 John is in 1 John verse 9. And then some also know verse 8 and 10 as rebuttals to people who proclaim the truth. But if you understand the full message
and the context,
you'll understand that it's a complete opposite understanding. So God says he's going to reprove them. And then he says, state your case in order. He's going to reprove them and state the case in order before their eyes. He's going to lay it all out. You're still a sinner. And in closes in verse 22 and 23. And now, what does he say?
Now consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you in pieces, and there will be none to deliver. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God.
What a powerful message. Kyle, God wants us to get our ways straightened out.
That's right.
But you know, God's willing to do the work for us and straighten out our ways for us so that we don't have to do it.
That's right. The gift of his Spirit.
That's
the promise, the wonderful promise.
He wants to do it. And when God, we allow God to do that in us, he's going to show us his salvation.
That's right.
But there's a stern, sobering warning. Kyle, there's many people who take the words of God, just like we read in the beginning, or, you know, in verse 16.
Yeah.
But he calls them wicked.
Yeah.
The church that's still wicked. Kyle, he says he's going to tear them in pieces.
That's right.
And there's going to be nobody who can deliver them from the hand of God. And a judgment is coming.
That's right.
It will come upon the entire earth, and every soul will be judged. Father, I thank you for your word. Just a short, simple message. A declaration, O God, when you speak, we must listen. As you spoke for heaven and earth to be a witness, for you have a case against your people. I pray, O God, as many of the people in the church today claiming to be your people, that we listen to this, we pay attention, and we let your word examine us in truth. We thank you, Father, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.